Right, well, good evening, everybody. And a little bit later than we had planned, this is our Christmas edition, episode 52 of the Malt Travel podcast, our Yuletide salutation, sorry, get the word right, which we had planned to do around about the 18th, 19th of December. And then for lots of different reasons, we were all so busy. Bruce seemed to be out in the cinema most nights or in different pubs. We would be always busy brass banding. Quite a busy Christmas actually. Nicholas just been Nicholas, so we couldn't fit it in. So we're slightly, I guess, behind time. We're going to kind of think back to what we were doing pre-Christmas. We're recording this actually on the 11th of January, which is it's a bit cool, a bit dark. It's a glimpse. Yeah, a glimpse of some early thing. We've just been saying it seems to be everybody crashing at the moment. Bruce had a big car crash just down the road from him. And just
going on now.
We've had two or three in town today, which is called gridlock across the fine city of Stoke-on-Trent. So, good evening, gents. We've got to take our heads off slightly and think back kind of a few weeks. And we've got quite a few beery little pre-Crimbo beer trips that you guys were on. And then we'll have to catch up because obviously me and Nick then met up for New Year for Twixmas and spent some nice time in the Dales. So we've got that to catch up with as well. So without further ado, let's crack on. Again, not obviously being Christmas, I didn't want to spend too much time looking at beer news, but there has been some. I think we probably better start, again, for those on YouTube, that obviously the town that gave the podcast its name, unfortunately, has been in the news quite a lot recently because rather than being Yorkshire's food capital, Malton's been Yorkshire's flood capital for most last few weeks. And something before Christmas, Nick, it was a bit hairy. And at one point, you couldn't walk up to the pub, could you?
No, it was manageable, but it wasn't being managed properly. That's a problem. I mean, yeah, the river's high, you know, the defences they put in to stop the river from overflowing the banks, although it did overflow the banks, but it was simple things like there was a puddle forming and they didn't want people getting splashed or walking on the road because they couldn't walk the pavement, so they decided to close the road down. So it's been bad, almost like it was back in 2000. Yeah. But could have done things to improve the situation.
Yeah, so
again, you
talked about being Malton's food capital. I have to say, last Friday, I'm back here working in Malton one day a week for 3 months, and I went to Derek Fox's Butchers last Friday, and amidst his warm pies, have you ever been, Nick? He does the most amazing sausage and black pudding bonbons, £1.80 for five. Hot with a pot of mustard, honey mustard dip. They were the best thing I've eaten in months.
So,
number one, I don't get home now from lunch, Bruce. Number two, I can't afford to shop in proper butchers because I'm not public sector. I'm not civil service like yourself. Well,
that sounds cheaper than Morrison's, though, to be honest with you. Even yellow label Morrison's.
That's why I got a Wetherspoons.
£1.80. So, yeah.
I've got one today, look.
Pardon?
No, you're,
it's a Rudgate chocolate porter, and for some reason they took it down to £1.25 in Morrison's.
That's a bargain.
Well, I must admit, I'm on the dark as well. For some reason, I got stacks of Irish stout for Christmas, so I'm currently on. This is Marks and Spencer's Carlo Brewing Irish Stout. So again, I'm a bit worried about how much beer I've got left after Christmas. So I'm saying to Bruce, we didn't really cane it very much over Christmas and New Year. Me and Nick did see off a barrel of Grand Reserve Titanic Porter, which was very nice. But apart from that, we did. So yeah, that was some of the news. Just again, this came out just before Christmas. This was, I think this was in the Morning Advertiser, which obviously is the trade paper. The top 10 ranked cask beers for 2023. I perhaps should have tested you both. Not surprisingly, at number one was Sharp's Doombar, which has been there, I think, for quite a while now. We talked about that before. But interestingly, on still at number two, retaining its number two slot, was Kimberley Taylor's Landlord, which, again, we have spoken about quite a lot recently. And it's almost becoming the kind of northern Doombar, isn't it, in its thing there. Green King was number three. Fuller's
this
Pride.
This will be Wetherspoons
Well, Fuller's, I mean, you don't get Fuller's in Pride and Wetherspoons very much. Wainwright at five, Green King Abbott at six, Austell Tribute at seven, Marcel's Pedigree eight, Buckham Bitter, Buckham Original at nine, and Harvey's such a best bitter. But actually, when you look at some of those numbers, so Sharps Doombar, they sold £91 million worth of beer, or the equivalent of, which is quite substantial, isn't it? And then Timothy Taylor, £82 million.
With all the different brands out there, for one brand to do that, I'm astonished that Landlord gets cop-struck by that.
110,000 hectolitres of brew beer. And then it dips a little bit, then 84 Green King IPA. So it's interesting. It kind of, I guess, it's great that much cask beer has been sold, and there just seem to be a resurgence of cask beer, and I think increasingly we're seeing more cask.
Taylors must be after getting number one position, you know, the fact that they're going to expand the brewery, that'll give them the volume to try and get number one, to bring the price down.
Yeah, but anyway, I thought it was just worth sharing. And then again, an ongoing story that we've had, and again, quite a few people had picked this up actually just before Christmas. So again, Briggs on Beer, which is one of the ones I follow, I know they listen to the podcast occasionally. I'm aware that they still have many sound system pubs still closed. However, I was quite surprised to learn that 120 of their approximately 200 pub estate is still not trading. I know, Bruce, you've given us a long list of, quite famous and most of them's been the one that the White Horse and Griffin in Tadcaster, which is still shut, isn't it? Which is with their flagship pub. So that doesn't seem to have shifted. I read again a couple of things in some of the press papers that Smith keeps saying they're trading managers up, but they've been saying that for quite a long time now. And they can't keep blaming COVID because COVID's long gone. And again, it's whether they're sitting on the estates, really. It's obviously for them, I guess for them as a brewery, it doesn't really do a great, you know, this is their, it's their investment, isn't it? The buildings aren't going to fall down. Interesting, really. And then what's last two. That,
you know, I was speaking to a manager who's taken over a pub, and he says that when he got to see Mr. Smith, he just shows you a book of all the empty pubs, where they are. He doesn't care what the volume or the trading is. You can literally pick any pub, so he's getting a pub.
I think you said with this, Bruce, this came out, and again, this was, I think, a tweet or an Instagram post about Yorkshire's most expensive pint. So the Rutland Arms in Sheffield, which is one of our favourite little haunts when we're in Sheffield, they were selling a beer that cost £21 a pint. Again, when you look into it, it's not quite like that. It was a novelty 11% marshmallow barrel-aged stout. And obviously, they weren't selling it in pints, they were selling it in thirds. But it sold out, I think, in 3 days. So there's obviously plenty of money. Money wears those brass. And I just thought this one, and obviously, we lost Shane McGowan just before Christmas as well. I thought this was quite nice. So apparently, as part of his wake, he put €10,000 behind his favourite pub. For his wake, which is a very very nice way to go out, isn't it? That was a very apt send up. Right, so we've got some catching up to do then, because we've beat you guys, and more than me actually have been all over the place. So you two had a little beer adventure down in Birmingham, which I've got to say is a little bit of a beer desert, but you found some decent pubs. Nick, then you've also had a little trip out to Hull. You've had a trip to Lake District. Bruce, you've been using your rail tickets again and had a little kind of across the Calder line and tried some of those kind of West Yorkshire mill towns. And I've been stuck in Staffordshire. So we'll try and catch all that together.
Me and Bruce did Lee's Harriet for our Christmas little tootle out.
Yeah, the Kirkstall Road was excellent. I enjoyed that,
So, but I think at the start of all, after our last podcast, you were off to Birmingham. So, tell us a little bit about what your feelings are about Birmingham. I've got to say, it's a city that's got quite a brewing heritage, or certainly round about it has. I've got to say, I think the only pubs I've regularly been in, the one where Bill Clinton one, which is on the road, which is on the canal, which is kind of there's a big bar on the canal where all the canals meet in the middle by Sea Life Centre. I think that's
you have to go trekking about to find them, but there were a couple of gems there, weren't there? I mean, undoubtedly the bat.
It was very much a fact-finding mission this time, wasn't it, Bruce? Yeah. We'd cover as much as we wanted to, but going back a second time, we'll know how to get from A to B to B to C to D to C to D, really. And we gleaned a little bit of information from the very friendly barman in the post office vaults, wasn't it? Which was a bit of a surreal pub. It's right in the centre, but it's actually downstairs.
Brilliant.
And one of the entrances is literally just a red door between two shops, between a Greggs and a newsagent's. So you won't recognise it as a pub, really. You have to know it's there. But by going in there, I had my billet out, and so he came. Offered his advice, did he, and said, well, no, don't bother walking out 15, 20 minutes out the seat to that one. It's not worth it. If you've only got a couple of hours, which is how we ended up, then he said, you know, I'd recommend it to. And they were spot on, really, weren't they, Bruce?
Oh, yeah, they were excellent, yeah. This was pictures on YouTube. It was from Nick Secondship, I think. Have we got any pictures of the Barton Arms at all?
Let's have a look. So, hang on, we've got... there we go. That was you've got the post office vaults there, Nick mentioned, with the red door, which was Bruce pointed out was actually between a Greggs, which is quite useful, and a very fine pint of Hobson's Mild. And then you actually had a Fuller's Pub, didn't you? The old,
yes, it was
the old
thing.
Joint Stock,
rather impressive.
It's an old bank building, they've actually got a little theatre in the back. So it's a very, very impressive architecturally. But yeah, then when I went back 3 weeks later near the Christmas market, couldn't get in, they were queuing outside. In fact, couldn't get in the pubs in the city centre. The whole city centre was just rammed, people wanting to go drink, like, so glad we got in at that time. Yeah, so it was a pint of Hobson's. I thought, if I'm in Birmingham, I should have a pint of Hobson's. So that was a delicious pint of mild. That was in the post office vaults. And on YouTube now, that was the first pub that we deliberately travelled out the city to find. Bruce will tell you more about where it was. It's actually in Aston, as in where Aston is. And it's a typical Victorian palace built, called commissioned by Mitchells and Butler, because obviously Mitchells and Butler were massive in Birmingham in terms of building pubs and developing pubs around the turn of the century. And it's an oasis in a sort of rundown desert, isn't it, Bruce?
It's incredibly.
So we travelled down the trail.
Area. This is at the part of, I mean, Aston's a long linear district. And this is the part of Aston that's furthest away from the city. And I mean, it was undoubtedly, I think, one of the most deprived areas of countries I've ever been to. And now what this picture doesn't see is its surroundings. It's hard to believe that this place still exists and still stands, isn't it, Nick? It's astonishing. But amazing inside, absolutely.
Down to Oakham's. Oakham's of Citra fame. They bought it and they've pumped money into it. And fair play to them. But as I say, how it makes a living, I'm not sure, really.
We can only think that people make journeys out on weekends, big groups of beer lovers, and on a night, absolutely astonishing.
And again, there's a few pictures there we've got on YouTube. Some of the snob screens,
mahogany cut glass. Got the snob screens, tiles, interior painted tiles, staircases. There's actually a Thai restaurant in the back, which obviously provides a bit of income. They'll sublet that area. And as I say, when we were there, because it was a Monday afternoon, wasn't it, Bruce?
The Monday afternoon, yeah.
So they had happy hour special on, and then they do a camera discount as well. So I think we paid £4 for a pass it to reach, so we had a pint and then jumped back on the bus back into the city.
These are all the same pictures. These are all Barton Arms, I think, the picture you sent me.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. That's definitely worth trying. It's one of the finest pubs in the country, that. Incredible. Yeah,
the option was to go out to here, or it was to go to the Black Horse, which is another very famous architectural pub in Birmingham, but that's in the south of the city. And that's one of, it's a Wetherspoons. And that is a classic example of a mock Tudor roadhouse, once again, built when pubs were booming. And in fact, there was a law that was brought to try and encourage landlords to close the premises and move them out into the suburbs. So that was the series of photographs that you showed earlier on. So I managed to do the two pubs that I wanted to see within the space of sort of a month.
Yeah, no, I mean, this pub, they're not up the Wellington at Bennett's Hill, pretty much the city centre, and you just come out of the back door of the, no, from the Fuller's Pub, and the back door of the Wellington, and then you've bought pretty much around the corner of the Fuller's Pub. I think I said it was the first pub in the country to actually install the live update screens, didn't he, Nick? But the pub itself was great, an astonishing array of beer.
Good
array,
yeah.
One of the best, I think probably the best pint we had all day as well, wasn't it, Nick?
Yeah, so he reckons you can, the landlord reckons, I said, oh, it's like the Weatherspoons app is in. He said, no, I had it before. He said, you can go on through Google and find out what beers I've got on at any time. And as I say, within the pub itself, instead of it being a chalkboard, there's a great vision screen there. But you can't get anybody watching on YouTube, you can see it. And in theory, if you go online anywhere, you'll be able to find the menu and see what he's got on. So, yeah, it was a strange again, Bruce. It was obviously a local pub right in the city centre. And did you say it's called Bennett's Hill, something like that? And there's a lot of the multi-international cocktail bars and wine places up that street. And yet this is like a traditional boozer in the midst of them all, isn't it? And because of that, it's always quieter than most of the other places.
Yeah. But all these old flagship banks for the centre of Birmingham, which obviously Britain's second city. So you've got all the old flagship banks that all on one corner at the junction. And now one's a cosy club and one's a day and night bar. And they're all being converted. It's quite sad to see. But amidst it all, though, they've got that post office vaults and this one, which was just absolutely amazing. I guess like London, it's so far for people to go home to come back into town. I imagine on a 5 o'clock on a Friday night, you can't move in these places. But it was fantastic.
Yeah, 16. Yeah, it doesn't. Birmingham doesn't kind of have that kind of drinking. Don't know like that. What I'm looking for, that kind of trend. You know, unlike Manchester. I mean, certainly people like around where I am. I mean, it's equal distance. Where it's quick to get to Birmingham to Manchester, but people would always go to Manchester for they're going out for a day out or a night out. They'd always choose Manchester over Birmingham. I think there are some. I think, like you said, the distance is a bit of an art. The tram system isn't as good as Manchester's, for example. So you're a little bit limited on terms of buses, and the railway is kind of all right.
They ain't got a tram, have they?
Yeah, there's a bit of a tram system, but it doesn't go particularly far. And the it's mainly city centre based.
And there's a lot of work going on as well because of HS2, which causes diversions. And I mean, we went back down 3 weeks later. Me and Jackie went into the centre by car, and it was an absolute pain in the ass. So as I say, and then when we got in there, because the Christmas markets are on, couldn't get in any pubs at all. I mean, even Weatherspoons, they close the doors at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're saying, right, we'll wait for a lot of people to come out before you can go in there. So I just had one beer at the Christmas market actually. But then on the Sunday morning, that's when we did the Black Horse because we were in the car. Went in there for breakfast, able to see the pub that I wanted to see.
And I think you looked in the Cudmore, didn't you? Which is Thornbridge's pub in Birmingham Centre. It's quite similar to the Banker's Cat, I think, in Leeds, isn't it? It's a similar kind of, again, similarly building. Not quite the same maybe as the York one, but I know that everybody agrees about that. And then in between that, Nick, you managed to kind of get up to the lakes for a couple of days and you managed to get into the Keswick Brewing Company tap.
Mm. Oh, aye. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'd always read about it in obviously the little ale guides up there, never quite sure where it was. But once again, once you know where it is, it's very convenient. The biggest car park in the middle of Keswick, which we often use because it's handy for the Weatherspoons there, the Justice or whatever it's called, and park there, it's a short stagger for me old man to get to the pub. It's literally diagonally across the car park and just down a little side street. So it's a smaller industrial building again. And we went in there once again, I think Tuesday tea time about 4 o'clock, and it was ticking over nicely. The beers, anybody watching the YouTube, you can see the samples there. So they died pretty quickly. I can't say that there was any particular beer that I thought, wow, this is outstanding. But once again, nice to see it ticking over and nice that they're surviving there.
Hmm.
Okay, and then we then skip forward to Bruce. You went across to Knaresborough for the famous Christmas lights.
Unfortunately, this year, the huge fog descended on the town and rather bizarrely, they decided to set off the fireworks, despite the facts, the knowledge that nobody would ever see them. So we briefly saw few bits of illuminated fog, but it was great. The pubs were heaving, and I have to say, probably contend for best part of the year. Black Sheep are a limited edition golden best brew were brewed by a lady in the Black Sheep Brewery, was normally brew. They called it after Metcalf's Golden Best. It was absolutely superb. I think I'm probably contending for part of the year, but yeah, great day out though that Sunday. The pubs, as you can see, the pubs are heaving, the place is heaving, there's a fantastic atmosphere. See the old butchers there with all the old pheasants and rabbits hung up. And finally, fish and chips for tea. But I say, sadly, the fireworks were a letdown. But yeah, I saw that. In Blind Jack's Metcalf's was definitely a kind of a
pint. I hope they top them pints up, Bruce, because they look very nice, but they've got a hell of a head on them. Two pints of Metcalf you've got there.
But again, that's... when I took pictures, she topped them up.
Yeah, that's quite a nice array there, though. So the picture Bruce has got on YouTube then. We can just see four of the pumps there. And the offer is Jaipur, Abigail Moonshine, the Metcalf Golden Best, as Bruce has just explained, and that's a North Riding porter, isn't it? Pecan porter on the end there as well. So that's a fine selection of Yorkshire, Derbyshire beers there available. Very good, and a very nice fish and chips well, as well, Bruce. Bruce always likes to just send us some pieces of food as well. He's making sure his belly's all right. And then again, I know me and Bruce, we were both out on Mad Friday. I think there were two Mad Fridays this year, weren't there? Because quite a lot of people finished kind of the week before the kind of final week, and then obviously Christmas was been a Monday, so it went to Friday. And I think we managed to get out both Fridays. And I got to say, it wasn't that mad in Stoke-on-Trent because it started snowing on the first Friday, so that kind of did it off there. So you were out, Bruce. You had a quick chip out with some of your drinking buds, and you had a little bit of a flit around York, didn't you?
We did, like we said, we sat next door to where I work in the Black Horse. That was a great part of Roosters, Yankee, but dear for a locals pub. Great part of Ossett White Rat. I'm going to say pint pot, which was absolutely... then we had a terrible pint of Leeds Pale, which is a shame because in the Eagle and Child, the other Leeds brew pub, I had a fantastic pint a few days before. I ended up on the Swan in Bishop Road, which I say had a fantastic...
Yeah, the Duke of York, though, that's the one that's on, is it Sampson Square, that one, or King Square. I mean, it's a nice pub, but well, it's not really a pub, is it? It's a bit like, I don't know what it was. I mean, it's quite popular with the tourists.
It's been a state agent, isn't it, at one point?
And I've got to say...
All the tourists think it's been a pub for centuries, isn't it? It's only been there about 15 years. Oh, it smells of fish as well, fish and chips. It makes the whole pub stink, and I don't like that.
Yeah. There's always a very young staff on as well. I do worry. I've got to say, the beer quality, and there's always
clueless
a bit
most of the time.
Yeah.
I want to go in again. The beer of the Eagle and Child, to be fair, was a fantastic part of the Eagle and Child a couple of weeks before, but it was terrible in the Duke here.
Yeah. And then you went in the Swan, which again is a great pub. I'm sure you got some good beer in the Swan. And again, they looked to have a really fine offer on there. A couple of Timothy Taylors. Yeah, it was interesting because when you sent me that first pint pot, I was the same. I'd got into I was in the Sanctuary, which I haven't been in for quite a while, which is a little micro bar. It's been around for a bit now, up in Harts Hill in Stoke-on-Trent, and they'd served me my first pint in a handle jug as well. It wasn't dimpled like yours, I've got to say.
I don't quite like it.
I don't know actually. I don't. And again, the other place, the Big Street Ale House are going. I asked now. I always want a straight pot, to be honest with you. I don't know why. Whilst we're here. And then, Bruce, you had a little trip out on the choo-choo train to Haworth and Keighley and a few other places out that way, didn't you? Kind of, again, maybe a little bit of planning. So you've got, what have you got here? You've got Fanny's Ale House, which is in Saltaire, haven't you? Bottlemakers in Keighley.
We started off at Halifax to look around the Peasalls, but then at Hebden Bridge. And this time, Hebden Bridge, not quite the great day out people say it is. But Brooklyn could be a guy, and the Fox and Goose was the place goes. We just say 6 minutes out, turn right on the main road out of the train station. They were fantastic. Fox and Goose, Edgetown, one of those pubs that could have quite easily fallen into big disrepair. It's been obviously a bass pub some of that years ago. Anyway, the community have bought it, and now inside it was fantastic. There's great little rooms that are totally untouched, excellent choice of beer, so they're a log burner. So if we do go to Hebden Bridge, shout out, this is by far the best pub to go to. I'd love to have gone on a night. It was great. So then we got the bus from Haworth, which goes right over the top and gets you to Haworth in 25 minutes, which is bonkers, because, of course, if you had to backtrack and go on train, you'd have to go into Leeds and then go out all the way to Keighley and get a bus so you can do it from Hebden. in 25 minutes over the fantastic scenic ride. We, of course, went to the Fleece, which was really good. And then got the bus back to Keighley. Well, I have to say, we always bang on and bang on and bang on about never getting a pint of Lallor, like we used to talk about. And I have to say, I've had a couple of good pints of Lallor in the Fleece in hours, but this night in the Boatmakers, the Lallor was, I think, the closest I've had in years and years to the Lallor we talk about. We shut your eyes, been back in 1985. It was astonishing. It was singing that night.
Maybe from an old barrel in Celebros, 20 years old.
It must be the brewery's Christmas party the night before. They got some left over from the brewers.
It was fantastic. And I say the Vantage of Salt Air, where Annie's Ale House seems to have had gets busy every time we go. This was that bizarre Saturday week before Christmas where it was unseasonably warm. So that was kind of spoiled. Yeah. No, none of the fires were lit in the pubs because you're roasting it. So it kind of destroyed the atmosphere. Because, you know, it was like 15 degrees, I was roasting. But so that kind of. But just like I said there, though, the funny thing was Vocation beer in West Yorkshire and Calderdale, you're seeing that absolutely everywhere now. They've got a rep out or they're offering a deal. It's everywhere.
I mean, all these pubs are quite busy, Bruce, because it was a bit hit and miss, I think. I mean, Nick, we went out on Christmas Eve, didn't we? And it was very quiet. Or was it Christmas Eve or the night before? And it was very, very quiet, wasn't it? And I mean, some pubs were the only people in there, and yet then at other places it was busy. And similarly, kind of, I think we were in Skipton, what this time last week, and it was similar there, wasn't it? That there were again one or two, you know, where this one was busy, but other pubs again, we were a couple of pubs where we were the only people in there, which is funny, really.
Yeah, I mean, that's traditionally in January, and it was middle of the week, wasn't it?
I
suppose you could expect that to a certain extent.
And then carrying on our geographical tour then, so again, pre-Christmas, Nick, you took Uncle Nobbed, sorry, Uncle Joe, had a trip out, you went and made a trip out to Hull, and you showed him a couple of the sights in Hull, including the Yoldy Whitey Hart and the Yoldy Black Boy, I think you took him to, didn't you, as well, didn't you?
Yeah, in the old town, unfortunately, we didn't get quite as far as the Minerva, because that's had a bit of a revamp, and obviously that was closed and it's reopened again, so I would like to come down there. But they get the Minerva, but took him to the I've spoken about before, the White Hart, which has got the ceramic bar in it. And that was busy. That was ticking over very nicely. Good selection of beers on. And then heading back into the old town, came back via the oldie Whitey Harty, which was one of the places where the English Civil War was supposed to have been planned. But depending on which historian you speak to, who are based in Hull, some say yes, it did, and others say no, it's a load of rubbish. But as you can see, I went to the old Black Boy as well. You know, as you can see, Joseph does like his pint with a handle on it.
That's been the news, hasn't it? Weren't they ripping out some of the bar and some of the furnishings, and they got told off? Yes,
that's right.
We discussed that a couple of podcasts ago. So, but it looked. I mean, it is a very dusty old, very dark place in there, very ancient.
Yeah, I don't think it's too bad, and I don't think they were doing anything deliberate or sinister.
Right. Yeah.
But I think they might have decided they were just changing a bit of panelling, and all of a sudden the civic people came down and said, "Oh, it's listed, blah de blah de blah."
Yeah.
Except you know, places like the New Beehive, the whole lot can be ripped out, and nobody seemed to know about it until it's all been done and all been packed away. So I think it was a bit of a media hype and media spin, to be honest with you.
Okay, and then again, really, I say so because we were so busy with band and work. I didn't get out; didn't really get much further than the kind of usual nips out on a Friday and Saturday. So, again, for those pictures on YouTube, this was our Mad Friday, where by about 7:30, as you can see, the snow began falling. Yeah. So it was quite nice actually. In fact, it was funny because I took the lad out, and now he's turned 18. It was his first kind of proper Christmas, real Christmas, legally in pubs having a drink. And again, you know, that magic bit in it, Bruce, I think we discussed it at the time that, you know, you're in a pub at Christmas and it starts snowing and you come out of the pub and it's all cold and you get another pub that's all nice and frosty. Unfortunately, there aren't many pubs in Newcastle, Stoke, that have got fires. A couple of them did have fires on, but I say most don't. And the bar actually there is the Cask Bar, which is a micro bar, which again, I think was an Indian takeaway for a while. And that was absolutely rammed. But again, they always do a fantastic big. And again, on the right-hand side, you can just see Wetherspoons shining out there in Newcastle under Lyme to kind of get us there. And I can't remember why I put that picture on. We did call him Wetherspoons because obviously I had some vouchers burning a hole in my pocket. And while in there, we had a works party, which had gone up, fair due to him. So a camel came in first of all, and then the camel was followed by some sheep. And then that was followed by some cows.
It's nativity.
It was everybody. Yeah. I mean, give them their due. It was a works night out. And as you can see, their baby Jesus, actually, with two pints in his hand. So, give them their due. They wandered in. I mean, as you saw, it was absolutely pinging down with snow outside. But they all came into Wetherspoons, and there was a full nativity, which I thought was a fantastic. What a great works night out, all dressed up. And they'd all dressed up, so it was pretty, pretty good. And it's that time of year again where, again, for those people who do Untappd and Nick's trying, you get your kind of stats for the year. So I know I normally share these with you. Not as big a year, I think, than last year, for lots of different reasons. So last year I drank 264 different beers over the year. So not quite a beer a day. I tried 160 breweries, which was 32 less than the year before. My top breweries were Pentrick. That's because Mallards always have a Pentrick on track, Limestone, Polly's, and Verdant. My most checked-in style was Pale Ale. My highest scoring was for the Steam's Mild Conquest Semina Brew. Jaipur's up there as well, one of my top beers. And my lowest scoring beer was a Timothy Taylor's Bolt Maker. Was a Timothy Taylor's Bolt Maker. And the Mellards, 41 visits checked in at Mellards, 26 hot water cellar. The old post, obviously, is in Burson, where we had the beer festival, 14. Wetherspoons is 10. Brass Castle Tap House, Nick, is there. I made 9 visits to Tap House. So it's just a nice thing to look back on your year in beer. So all very good. Oh, we nearly get there. So we're about out of time. We do need to catch up about our New Year shenanigans because, as I said, there's been more trips and more trips out. And so me and Nick can give you a little bit of feedback on our little trip out to Kirby Lonsdale, which was very, very recommend Kirby Lonsdale. And then we found a cracking little brewery, the Brewery Tap, which, again, we really enjoyed. And again, Bruce, you can be swill as with what's New Year like in York, although I don't think you were out yourself for your New Year's Eve. You weren't out running on cobbles. Yeah. It seemed to be quite a quiet one this year. I mean, more people said that. A lot of places now go for ticket, don't they? But a lot of places were shutting quite early. We're kind of shutting 8 and 9 as well. Must admit,
talk about our best beery Christmas presents as well.
Yes.
I think my best beery Christmas presents, obviously, Bruce got me a bottle of Stingo, which we've been talking about in a Sam Smith's pub. And he also got some top spoons.
Top spoons.
It's like top trumps, but it's Wetherspoons pub.
Oh, I've not seen those. Yeah. Oh, very good.
Yeah. So you've got 5 categories. You've got ambience, price, cleanliness, architecture, and customer approval. And they've also got the best reviews on there as well. So the waiter had a sip of my pint. I'm bemused. This is a bit pertinent. I will never return to this abhorrent little crap hole as long as I live. That's the Pennsylvanian in Ridgeless Wetherspoons. So I can regale you with some of those next episode.
Excellent. So, so we'll catch up before the month's out and catch up, lad. Anything planned? It's Wassail weekend in Stoke-on-Trent this weekend. So I'm out wassailing on Saturday night with a band. So we visit 12 apple trees in the ancient village of Penkel, most happened to be next to a pub. So we're getting about 6-7 pubs. So that should be quite a nice Saturday. Anything plan yourself, guys? Have you got any plans?
I'm going to Sheffield on a Northern Rail £1 rail ticket on Saturday. So we should have Kelham Island and the Shakespeare. So I'm at Sheffield for 5 hours on Saturday, which should be quite fun,
Very good.
Now formal, but I'm not working, so I might find myself a pint somewhere.
Should have come with us, Nick,
Very good. Gents. Good catch up. Happy New Year to everybody. We'll play the music, and we'll catch up with you, hopefully, in a couple of weeks' time.